I looked at you all and I thought, what could I hide behind? Anyway, I want to thank Apostle Ron for this opportunity to share with you, to bless you, to encourage you, and maybe to stretch you a little bit. I entitled the message this morning, The Importance of Fulfilling One's Function in the Body of Christ. It is important that each one of us fulfill the function that God has called us to do in the body of Christ, not only worldwide, but in the body of Christ locally that he has assigned us to. A while back, I was asking God, why, after 44 years of serving him, because I was saved in 1975, why my left leg is not healed yet, why it isn't normal. I've prayed for it. I've had people pray for it. People laid hands on me. I've been anointed with oil. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've done everything that I know to do to be obedient to the Word of God, and it hasn't been healed. And he spoke to me, and he said, it is because of the condition of the body of Christ as a whole. And then I thought about the level of faith that they had in the first century church compared to the level of faith, the level of obedience they had in the first century church according to the obedience we have now. The level of desire for God that was in the first century church as according to what we have now. Excuse me. And it's totally different. It was much higher in the first century church than it is now. But I let it simmer for a while. And I want to throw out a couple of facts here. According to Pew Research, there are 2 billion people who say that they are born again. Well, how many know that that's not true? And of that 2 billion, there are 500 million that they say they believe they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. That means 1 out of every 14 people in the world say they're filled with the Holy Spirit. If that were true, we would have a lot more spiritual things of God going on. But a lot of them have been taught wrong. They believe things that aren't true. But besides that, there are people who just, they don't obey, they don't believe, they don't pray, they don't read their Bible. This is what the contemporary church is like. They go to Sunday service and they sit there and they think that's all that they're called to do because they haven't been told anything different. They have a lack of understanding of what the Holy Spirit is doing today. In this third Reformation, God has already been exalted in the first Reformation, Jesus in the second Reformation. And now it's time for the Holy Spirit to be exalted in the church, even higher than he ever has been before. But then I read these words of Chuck Pierce, and this is what Apostle Ron and I were talking about. Your promise is linked to the overall movement of God, not only in your life, but in your territory, and in the generations past and yet to come. Even though God is a very personal God, he enacts our promises with those of others to whom he has connected us with. Are we connected to one another? Amen. That means that his promises, his prophecies that have gone over you, are connected to those that have been prophesied to everybody else in this church, in this local assembly. if we or they aren't asking God to work out our promises, we all suffer. So, I have seen places where we have prophetic ministry. And while one person is being prophesied over, everybody else is just kind of talking, milling around, doing nothing. We should be listening, taking notes, praying for those people, praying for the people who are giving the prophecies, that the Holy Spirit continue to anoint them. We should be actively a part of that ministry. But if we don't take notes, you see, I don't know what God has prophesied over you because I didn't do it. So now on Friday nights, I think I better bring me my notebook, say, okay, this person's getting prophesied over. What are the main points that are being prophesied over this person? So that I can take them to prayer that your prophecies come to pass. See, it's not just up to you and God. It's all part of the local church. For some, you know, he has this great vision. I've gone to different churches and they say, you have to partake of the vision of this church. Okay, I can partake of your vision. Now, can you partake of my vision?
Hey, amen. That's good.
And when they see my vision is a little bit different than their vision, they say, well, you can't be part of this church. What? You mean to tell me God's vision for my life and God's vision for the church don't go together?
They do.
Come on. Yes, they do. So anyway, then he says this, quote, when God is speaking into our life and has a destiny for us individually, that destiny also affects the corporate vision here, where we are a part, the territory or land wherein we live or are assigned to, and the generations to come. If we believe that we are assigned here, then all of the visions that God has given each one of us individually coincide together, come together, and there's a synergy that causes a power that we don't even think of.
Thank you, Lord.
The vision God has given you is just part of his overall vision for the body of Christ, for this body, as well as the body worldwide.
Amen.
For this time in history. See, you are here today. I am here today for this time in history.
Amen.
I wasn't born to be part of the Alamo. I wasn't born to be part of the Second World War. I was born when God said, now is the time for Terry Coon to be born. And now is the time for him to come forth. And now is the time for him to become part of a body, a local assembly of the church. So I have a request for each of you. I had a prophecy last Friday. Went down to Versailles. Ministered the word down there. And they prophesied, you know, they prayed for healing for my leg, and for my right leg, not my left leg, my right leg, and they prophesied over me, and the head of the prophetic ministry down there prophesied, and then he said something about that God was going to lead me to the house that he wanted me in, and I heard that, and I'm going like, he's going to take me to another church? Bummer! I like the one I'm in. I feel more like a family here, part of a family here than I have felt in decades.
Praise God.
I've been in 20 different churches, and the only fellowship I ever had was the back of the person's ahead of me. And that's no fellowship to have.
Amen, Jerry.
Get any closer, I'll have a bunch of hair in my mouth. Anyway. So my prayer is that you would all pray for me, that God leads me to find the house that he wants me to live in at the time that he wants me to move.
Amen.
Because
another
Dave Harris,
another.
Right, it's another house. It's not another church. Dave Harris and I listened to the prophecy on the way home because, of course, we always record them. They're on our phones, and we're listening to it. And we heard that God was going to give me take me to another house. And we looked at each other. He was driving, and we looked at each other. We said, "That's a home. That's not a church. That's a home." So anyway, so as being part of this body of Christ, I am asking all of you to pray for me to find the house that God wants me to live in.
Amen.
Now, in 1 Timothy 1:18, God says this, or Paul says this to his son Timothy. And he says, "To make a warfare according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." We have heard that so many times, but you know the thing is it's important for all of us to make warfare for all of us for the prophecies to come to pass. On the way down to Versailles, God spoke to me, and he said, "I want you to prophesy to the prophecies that have gone before these people that have not yet come to pass." I'm going like, "What?" And he says, "Remember, I told Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. I want you," and he says, "I want you to prophesy to their prophecies."
Amen.
And so, in obedience, I prophesied to their prophecies.
Amen.
And he says, "The thing is that we're all the same. They're all part. We're part. You know, they're CI, we're CI. River of Life in Elkhart is CI.
Amen.
Restoration Life in Battle Creek is CI. All apart. We're all apart together. So in 1 Corinthians 12:26, Paul writes this. I think this is where, yeah. He writes this. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." For the past 10 years, I've gone through one ailment after another. I don't know if that's because of my age or what it is. But I have been fighting the devil, and I've been winning a lot of those fights. Praise God, I've been winning those fights. But as you can see, I'm wearing a brace now on my right leg. It was the left one that was broken 51 years ago. But it's the right one that's giving me problems now. After 4 years of walking where I came to the place where I could not walk with it unless it hurt, and I can't stand up on it very long, which is why I sat down during worship, because I knew I'd have to stand up here so it wouldn't hurt. But see, the thing is that during that four-year time, I have lost energy, I have lost strength, I have gained weight, which I want to lose. I want to gain strength, I want to gain energy, and I want to lose weight. So I said, "Okay, we're going to get the brace on there. Now at least I can walk a little bit better without pain. If I can walk without pain, I'll walk more, and if I walk more, I might lose weight, and I'll gain energy." That's just the way it goes. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, we're going to go through this. I did not write this down. I got this morning. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually."
Amen.
28. "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." 29. "Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Give messages in the church in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Earnestly desire the best gifts. He commands us to earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For what reason? To edify and to encourage one another.
Amen.
That's what they're for, to edify and to encourage one another, and also to use them as a tool out in the marketplace to evangelize. Now, this is so important, it has been so really important to me, that we have these Friday night meetings so that people can come, they can learn about the prophetic, they can learn about the move of God, and they can be activated in their gifts. Amen. If we're activated in their gifts place where they're not going to get yelled at. Safe, thank you. Little four-letter word. Anyway, if they're doing it in a safe place where they can do it, and if they make a mistake, nobody's going to yell at them about it. You know? It's a learning experience. As I tell you, I've made mistakes when I'm prophesying. There was one time I was prophesying, I said, don't even think about it. I stopped right in the middle because God was convicting me that it wasn't him. And I said, nope, forget it this. This is not God. It was me. Let's just go on with worship. And so anyway, but see, the thing is that there are too many people that are sitting on the sidelines. When you've only got three or four people or five people in the whole congregation, and I'm even talking about churches bigger than this, that allow the gift of the Holy Spirit to move through them during a service, the rest of the body of Christ is doing nothing. And so, therefore, we all suffer. Joshua 6, verses 18 and 19 tells us about Achan. I think this is kind of funny. Because Achan brought pain and suffering to the whole house of Israel. Because he took of the holy things, and then the whole house of Israel, when they went against Ai, they got defeated and people got killed. So, with his name of being Achan, I just thought it was funny that he brought pain and suffering. And so, this is what, I had to say that twice to get the...
I was trying to figure out what was funny about a lot of people dying.
When Jericho was conquered, this is what Joshua said. And you, by all means, abstain. I'm going to have to rush here. From the religious things. Now in the King James or in the New King James, it says accursed, and it says that for two different things. One, and there's two different completely meanings. One is the precious religious things, and the other one is a thing to be destroyed. So anyway, if you take of the religious things, those things that are devoted to religious worship, don't do that lest you be accursed, something to be destroyed. When you take of the accursed things, objects of worship, and make the camp of Israel to curse, a curse, a thing to be destroyed, and trouble it. But Achan sinned, and he took of the things that he coveted. Now, we're in a time today where people go, they go down to CI or they go to another conference, and they're trained to prophesy, they're taught to prophesy, and they come home to a church that doesn't even believe in the Holy Spirit and doesn't believe in the word of prophecy that is for today. What can they do? They don't do anything. So what happens is that they, not on purpose, but they come to a place where they bury the precious things of God. What did Achan do? Achan took the precious things out of the tabernacle. Tabernacle. He stole them. He took them into his tent, which is symbolic of our body. We are the tent. We are the tabernacle. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he buried them in the ground so that nobody could see them. And so there are times that we go places and we say, oh, I'm part of this church, I'm part of this church, but they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Then why are you there? They don't believe in the gifts, but I do. Well, then why are you there? Well, I'd like to teach them. Oh, really? Are you going to have meetings with your leaders? and start prophesying all over them, so they, and then they can say, no, that's not of God. But they hide things, and this is what Achan did. He hid it in the ground, and sometimes people just hide things, maybe because of fear, maybe because of doubt, or just because they think that they're insignificant, or they're in a wrong church, and they hide the precious things of God that would edify the entire body of Christ in their earth. So Achan coveted those objects. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the whole body. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit, for the benefit or the strengthening of all of us. So we're all in this thing together. It's not like we're here and there. One of the reasons why I'm going to want a new house, and I'm going to be going into a new house closer here, I think, than I am now. I'm 52 miles away. Is because, you know, we have the community nights. Yeah. And it gets dark, and I don't like to drive it too far in the dark. And I do it sometimes. But anyway, but other things are going on too. And it's like, oh, I can't do that. Sunday night services, I mean, you know, the Monday night Bible studies, things I'm missing because I'm not close. You know, but a lot of the stuff, we have to stop thinking of ourselves as desert islands. We have to think of ourselves as a family together to edify one another. And it's just like the picnic that was yesterday, which I missed because I had to do something else. And the reason was, or the thing is that, you know, to that picnic, Ron and Belinda might bring the hot dogs or hamburgers. I don't know what they brought. They brought cookies. Somebody else might bring the dessert. Somebody else a fruit salad. Somebody else a vegetable salad. Somebody else baked beans. Somebody else potato salad, whatever. And but it all comes together for the edification so that we can all get fat together. But the whole thing is that we are put here together.
Together.
We are put here together, not to be islands unto ourselves. And we have to know that we're here to bless one another. Friday night there was an appreciation dinner for apostles Leon and Donna Walters, which I couldn't go to. And when I saw some of the pictures on Facebook, I was very glad I didn't, because everyone was so dressed up. And I'm going, I would have had to buy a new suit for this thing. So anyway, there were some women that from River of Life down at Elkhart that went, and they put their pictures on there of them getting ready, primping their hair, you know, putting on their makeup, and all that. And I'm going, am I glad I'm a man? And any man who's ever born who wants to be a woman, they're possessed of the devil. Let me tell you right now. Any man that says, I feel like a woman, oh, when was the last time you put on makeup? When was the last time you had your hair down past your shoulders? Except for the 1960s and 70s. But anyway, they were doing all this stuff, and I prophesied to one of them on Facebook. Just a real quick prophecy, nothing big, nothing long. And it was the same thing as what Abiathar did with David. And see, it's so important. These things are so important. Because Abiathar comes to David, who is a king. Who is he? Where was he? Keilah. He was at Keilah, and Saul's coming after him. Saul wants to destroy him. Saul wants to kill him. And Abiathar comes down with the ephod, which is the high priest, one of the high priest's garments, has all the signets and the thing for all the 12 tribes of Israel to wear on their shoulders. And David says, bring me an ephod. So he brings the ephod, and he prays. And the ephod speaks. No, it wasn't the ephod didn't speak. But it sounds like it in the Word of God. It doesn't say Abiathar said anything. But Abiathar tells David to leave Keilah and go someplace else. So when he leaves and then Saul comes to Keilah and he's not there, he gave up the search. Oh. Now think about it. All he did was tell David to go to another place and Saul stopped. That saved the entire nation of Israel. It saved his kingship. It saved his lineage. It saved the whole thing. Just because of one little direction. Get out of Keilah and go someplace else. So no matter what, how little we have to say to somebody, it could be important. It could be really important. And I'm just about done here. I know that there have been times that I've been told, even before I came here, that, you know, if Nikki was working or on call, stuff like that, well, you don't have to bring anything to the picnic, or you don't have to bring anything to our gathering. You know how a few churches have gatherings anyway. Anyway, the thing is I'd end up with chips. Now, I didn't show up yesterday because, like I said, I had something else to do. So I robbed all of you of my great fellowship, and I robbed all of you of my bag of potato chips. I'm sorry.
I brought the chips
here. But we have to believe that these community nights that we have, the times that we have that we can fellowship, they are very important.
Amen.
They are very important. And, you know, Jesus taught that we should live a life one with another. Amen. And then Paul said the same thing. He picked up that mantle and to teach us. And he did that. You know, Paul's life was not... I'm just about done here. Paul, he got saved, got knocked off his horse called pride. And he almost immediately began preaching when he was in Damascus. And yet later he writes and he said that an elder should not be a novice. He learned from experience. So anyway, he starts preaching and the Jews come up and they try to kill him. So he goes down to Jerusalem. He starts preaching and the Jews tried to kill him. Anybody see a pattern here? So he runs off to back to Tarsus where he grew up at. 3 years later, Barnabas is told by God, by the Holy Spirit, you get Paul. So he goes up and gets Paul, takes Paul back to Antioch. And what happens? He gets anointed to be an apostle. Because of Barnabas, he became an apostle. See, it is so important that those of us who are called to be connected together, pray for one another, know what's going on in our lives, and hold up one another. That's it.
Amen.